Spirit Radio Podcasts.
I don't know if you guys remember, but we've had a little dog in our lives for a long time, Gabby. And Gabby was very, very dear to us. And unfortunately, we had to have Gabby put to sleep in September because she was very, very ill. It was a really hard thing to do. And this week, we are dog-sitting a couple of most adorable little dogs. If you're on my Instagram account, you can go over and see Ziggy sleeping in and amongst all the stuffed animals in Joy's little pink tent. But, you know, there is just something about dogs. You just love dogs, and it's great to have them in the house, and it's great the kids love them. But, you know, some dogs are just called to something even higher again. And our next guest runs a charity. It's based in Cork that provide highly trained and skilled service dogs that assist individuals with autism and disabilities. These dogs have a very, very special role in their owners' lives. And on the line now to tell us more about it, we have Cleena O'Rourke. She is founder of My Canine Companion. And you're very welcome to the show this morning, Cleena.
Thanks, Jackie. Thanks a million for having me on.
I mean, you know, I just love dogs, full stop, love dogs. And I think they're so wonderful to have dogs in our lives because they can be, provide such companionship. But the work that the dogs at your place are doing is something, again, a whole step up, isn't it?
Well, I suppose, as you say, dogs for everybody. I mean, you know, dogs are great for everybody, really. But I suppose we place dogs with predominantly with children with autism and adolescents with autism. So I suppose the first thing that those dogs, our dogs, would be for safety. So for a lot of our the children, the dogs would be physically connected to the child when they're out and about in public places and stuff. So that would be the first thing. So it's the safety aspect. So obviously, if your child, a lot of kids with autism tend to bolt, or if they go into environments that they find particularly difficult, they can be inclined to run off, or they can get overly excited by the situation. So, I mean, from a parent's point of view, if your child is physically attached to the dog and you know that they're not actually going to be able to run off, it obviously decreases their stress levels hugely as well. So, I mean, that is the first kind of aspect, but I think there is so much more to it. I mean, in this day and age, there's so much, I mean, we're all hearing about anxiety, people, you know, children suffering with anxiety, people, adults suffering with anxiety as well, and that whole side of it is a huge role actually in what the dogs do as well. So they decrease the anxiety for the children going out and about into places, and therefore helping the whole family. So we have like families. Our motto is actually bringing families together. So that it's kind of a twofold thing. It's kind of, first of all, a lot of the families that we would deal with would have said to us, you know, that they tend to be a divided family. You might have one parent taking the child who's on the spectrum to one place, and then another parent is taking the other kids into a situation because the child can't cope with that environment. But what we actually find is that once the dog is there, they're reunited again as a family.
That's
because
lovely.
The child can actually cope with those situations. Yeah. Maybe like family get-togethers, you know, big family get-togethers, going into restaurants, going to parties, all these kinds of situations.
Yeah, so they can live together in a more
normal
way.
Absolutely, and get out and about together, and the child can cope with it, you know.
Fabulous.
But the other side, I suppose, then is we're very much all our families, the clients, they really help each other. So they support each other hugely. So we're actually quite, we really try to create a kind of a tight-knit group where the families are empowering each other, you know, and they're helping each other. So that's as well what we do. So a lot of the families would come together and meet, and the kids would meet with you know, they'd meet up in groups. So it's bringing families together that way as well. So, you know, we try and keep it as positive, obviously, as possible.
That's brilliant. Well, tell me about the training the dogs have to receive to be able to do what they do.
Well, I mean, what we do is kind of, well, it's probably kind of a unique approach. So what we do is we actually, most of our dogs are placed at around maybe 12 weeks, maybe a little bit older with the family. So basically the puppy is puppy walked by the family themselves. So this will be kind of a little bit different to the traditional approach which other organizations would have, whereby the dog is actually raised for 12 months with a puppy, a volunteer puppy raiser, or they're actually raised by the puppy. So then the families go to our puppy classes run by our trainers Karen and Laura, and they would go to those every month, and they would go through all the, you know, going into all the different areas for public access, how the dog has to behave, go through all the different things that the dog needs to become a well-behaved or, you know, well-rounded dog for it to be a service dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the dog is usually kind of maybe 16 to 18 months, they come to Cork for their formal training, which takes 4 months. So, and then they're going through all the stuff where, you know, they have to stop at the road crossings if cars are coming, avoid, you know, stop at, avoid any obstacles on the path. If the child goes to bolt, that they would, you know, come to a stand. All this kind of stuff that they need then in the formal training. And at the end of that, the parents will come down to Cork for a couple of days, and they do the, we do the handover where we train with the, just the parents alone. They come down for a couple of days, do that. Then they go back home, and our trainers go and work with the children at home then with the families, where we do what we call the attachment training, which is the training where the child and the dog will walk attached to each other out in public. And obviously then it's a continuous thing, you know, that any, you know, we would have, they're still obviously, we see them then another few weeks later, and as much support as they need, we will give them, you know, throughout the life of the dog.
And I believe the process is like, what, is it 10K to train each dog over that 2 year period?
Well, no, it's not. It's from the kind of, I suppose that's from the working life of the dog. So the dog would usually kind of probably retire at about 10. So we would still, even after the dog qualifies, we would still see the dogs.
Okay.
So it's kind of what we would, it's not exactly cradle to the grave, but it's from cradle to retirement.
Yeah, so it's a process, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously that's, you know, that covers like everything during that time. So or if the dog needed to have a little bit of refresher training, or the parent needed a little bit of training.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
And we still do, like, because, like, even yesterday now, I was up in Limerick, and it was actually to see the we actually went up to see a group of qualified dogs. So we met them all up in Limerick, and we did a class with them, which is lovely. And we had a couple of puppies in there as well, inside that group. So it was nice for the pups to kind of be around the adult dogs, and they kind of, it's because the dogs really, really pick up from each other. So a lot of what we do is we work in groups, and we would, like, if we have, or if we have someone that, you know, maybe is, we kind of match people up a little bit as well to help each other and support each other. So it was lovely now yesterday to see the adult dogs, the qualified dogs, and still working so well, and people keeping up all the work and everything. Mm. And then the couple of puppies in around them, and, you know, like, they pick up that, oh, they're the big dogs, and I want to be like them, you know. So it's lovely.
I want to grow up to be like that someday.
Yeah, exactly. It actually is quite like that. You kind of, you know, sitting, and they behaving that little bit better with the well-behaved qualified dogs there, yeah, you know, so it's, yeah, it's lovely.
Well, in case you're just joining me, I'm chatting with Cleena O'Rourke. She's the founder of My Canine Companion, which trains service dogs to assist individuals with autism and disabilities, and works with their families. Tell us, Cleena, what is the current demand for these assistant dogs? Do you have a high demand?
Oh, we do. I mean, we're due to open our list very shortly again, and I mean, we have, and actually it's quite a complex thing actually to reopen your list, because obviously we have to be prepared for the amount of people who are going to contact us. We have over 1,000 inquiries from people actually just trying to get onto our list.
Wow.
So I mean, I suppose it's you know, it's been prepared for that as well, because obviously we can only, now we're actually the biggest provider of service dogs to children with autism in Ireland, and we would be training well over 50% of the dogs in the country for that. But even at that, the most we can kind of qualify would be 50 dogs a year, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, we have started doing other stuff as well now, where we're kind of doing therapy stuff, and we're kind of, you know, we're working with to try and be able to kind of help people in other ways. So, like, for example, we've got a pilot program with the CUH, where we're helping with kids getting x-rays, kids with anxiety around the spectrum, when they're getting x-rays done, or when they're getting in the fracture clinic, getting the casts removed and stuff like that. So the dog can go and be there with them when they're getting that done, and help them to transition from getting from the fracture clinic to the x-ray. So we're doing work like that as well. We're also kind of working with Cork Airport, where we're trying to get a program where you know, maybe where the dogs can help people go through the airport, so that for kids that are traveling that would find that particularly difficult, the dog can go with them and accompany them while they're going through the airport to the airplane, you know. So we've got other things as well that we're kind of doing at the moment, and trialing at the moment to try and see, to try and help a broader number of people as well, you know.
Brilliant. Than
just individual kids, you know. So because it's, I suppose what we're kind of trying, we're thinking we want to try and help as many people as we can.
As you can, absolutely.
In different ways and with different therapies and stuff like that. So, because the thing about it is the dogs help in so many ways. I mean, they can help with occupational therapy. You know, the kids can help brush the dog, they can feed the dog, they can touch the dog food. All those things can be very good for children who have sensory issues, who, you know, even the deep pressure where their dog can go and lie with the child, lie on top of them, cuddling the dog, just the feel of the coat. All these other things are, I suppose, the extras besides the safety, but they're very important, and they do make a big difference as well to people. So we're looking at all these kind of different things that the dogs actually do and how we can use this to help other children, not just even specifically just the one child for that dog, you know.
Wow. So, Kalina, tell us, how can people find out more information and support your work?
Well, I mean, I suppose we're always looking for people to help out, to do, you know, maybe a coffee morning, or help out if we've got a flag day or anything like that. We're also looking for, constantly looking for puppy raisers or boarders of our dogs. We're looking for people to take our breeding stock. So, I mean, people can go onto our website, mycaninecompanion.ie, or onto our Facebook page, My Canine Companion as well. And, you know, we do visits to places, to workplaces and stuff like that as well. At the moment, actually, our L litter, we've got 6 puppies, and they went a bit viral there on the Dublin Airport Twitter. So they're kind of being recognised quite a lot going around the place. So
they're famous.
Yeah, they are. They're quite famous. But so I mean, really, you know, any help that we can get, we would be delighted with. If people want to make a donation, they can get onto us and get onto our website and make a donation, because obviously we don't get any government funding. Mm. So we depend hugely on just public donation, and the parents are actually we couldn't survive without them, because they are the ones that are doing fundraising for us. And it's difficult because they're obviously, you know, they've got their kids and a whole lot of everything else that's going on and all the therapies, and they're still trying to help fundraise, and they're fundraising for other things as well, because that's the unfortunate
that's
nature.
That's the nature, isn't it?
Kind of thing. But I mean, any donation would be appreciated. People wanted to, you know, we've got fairs there, that Christmas fairs that people are doing now, and they're making up little going to Christmas fairs, and they're giving us donations from them. Anything really, like for us, I suppose, because we are a small charity, and everything makes a difference. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, so any bit of support that we can get helps and makes
absolutely
a difference to us.
Absolutely. Kalina, thanks so much for coming on this morning. You're doing great work. Keep it up, man.
Thanks, Jackie. Yeah. It was lovely to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, too. And it's great to hear that so many families are getting help, and we hope that so many more can get it from you as well. So keep up the good
work. Thank you very much. Thanks a million.
Okay, take care. That's Kalina O'Rourke. She's the founder of My Canine Companion. They're based in Cork. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Kalina. And guys, really, get involved. Let's do something for Kalina. MyCanineCompanion.ie. It's coming up to that time of year. Maybe, you know, you've got a little Christmas bonus, or maybe you're looking for a charity to give to this year. MyCanineCompanion.ie. It'll make a big difference in the lives of these kids. Now, my next guests, they both met at Bible College in Belgium, but each of their stories will highlight how they are very different backgrounds from each other. Their testimony shows that the Lord works through people from all walks of life. In the studio now to share with us their stories, we have Pastor Frank and Michelle. You're very both welcome to the show this afternoon. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Frank, let's start with you. Tell us just a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what early life was like for you.
Okay, good morning. Good morning all. So my name is Frank. I am from Belgium, in a town called Mons. So I grew up in an Italian family. And until the age of 15, everything was okay. But at 15, I made the wrong choice. I tasted drugs. And so from 15 years old to 27 years old, I was on the street taking and selling drugs.
Okay, so a very, very, very tough start. What turned things around for you, Frank?
And so during that time in my heart, I always felt something was missing. You know, when I was going home, I felt bad in my heart because I was scared about death. And for me, I was convinced that something was behind that. But I did not have the answer. And one day, not an old woman, but a woman of a certain age came to me to talk about Jesus.
And so tell us now about the work that you do now.
Now I am pastoring a church in my town in Mons, huh? And I am teaching also religion and English.
Very good. And what message would you give to anyone out there that may be going through a time where they just don't see any hope, they just can't see it? What message would you give them to somebody like that?
You see, everything is made on choices. And I think sometimes we are confronted to make sometimes a wrong choice and a good choice. And the best choice I did is to give my life to Jesus, to God. Because I went to the hospitals to try many medication, you see. But at the end, when I was going out, my heart was still broken, sad, depressed. But the day I gave my life to Jesus, God gave me another heart. And since then, since 93, I don't have to fight anymore with drugs, alcohol. So for me, the best things, and it's for free, is to give your heart to Jesus. And believe me, when God listens that, he comes with the Spirit in you, and your life is totally changed. You have peace, joys, even in the midst of difficulties, because he's your strength, he's your supporter. And thanks God, because now I am a new man since 93, and only God could do that.
Wow, that is quite striking. It really is, Frank. Wow. Michelle, I want to talk a little bit about you as well. Talk about your background. It's quite different from Frank's. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, actually, you know, people don't see me in the radio, but, you know, hi, I'm from Africa. I was born in Belgium, and my parents are black. You know, they are Africans, but they are, my dad is a doctor, a medical doctor, quite a specialist in his field. So I grew up in a Catholic family. And I just came to know the Lord one day when, you know, they told me that my dad was killed. Yeah, so I prayed to God. I say, okay, God, if you are really the working miracle God, make that this story is false. So, and 3 days after, I received a phone call saying that my dad wasn't dead, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you were told he was dead.
Yeah.
And it turned out he wasn't, actually. Yeah. What happened? How was that? How did they mix that
up? Actually, there were some troubles in Africa. So my dad was in the Congo. So there was some troubles over there. So me, I was in Belgium. And they phoned us to say that he has been killed on the road. Yeah.
So, oh, wow. So what kind of impact did that have on you, hearing that he was dead and then having that prayer and now he's alive?
Yeah, well, actually, just struck me because I said, wow, God, you're really, you know, the living God. Because during 3 days, people were phoning me to say, okay, my condolences at the loss of your dad. So, but when they phoned me to say that my dad is not dead, I said, this is just a miracle. So God heard my prayer. Mm. So I took him seriously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just changed my life, actually.
Wow. And what impact did that have on you? How did it change your life?
Well, actually, when I was mourning my dad, you know, I had an aunt who came and she was singing praises to God. And in the beginning, I was crying for my dad. And then suddenly I started crying because I felt like I've been so far away from God for a long time. So when I heard that my dad is alive, so I just took God seriously, and then it just changed my life. I stopped going to church. I wanted to know more about God. Because I said to God, if my dad is not dead, then I will just take you seriously and then serve you. But I didn't think of serving him like a pastor. I was just thinking of being dedicated to him.
So how did you get involved in being pastor? How did that decision come about?
I was worshiping God, and then I heard God saying to me, who should I send, you know? And then he shared with me the burden that he had to build strong churches, you know, stable churches.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking who would he send. So I said, Lord, I'm here. I'm available if you want.
Wow. Yeah. And so tell us about the work you do now. What are you involved in?
Actually, now I'm a pastor of two churches. Where in the city where I'm living.
And what city is that?
Libramont.
Okay.
In the south of Belgium.
Okay.
And then very down in the south of Belgium, close to Luxembourg, I have another church over there as well, yeah.
Wow.
And I also have international ministry as well, yeah.
Wow. So how did you guys meet? And you're friends with Pastor Pat Fitzgerald as well.
Yes,
yeah. And Pat was on the show last week and sitting in the background there. Hi, Pat.
Hey,
so how did you guys meet each other?
Well, actually, it was in at CTS, at Continental Theological Seminary. I think it's God connections. Mm. It's a divine connections. We were just friends. It was like it was meant for us to be together. We had fun together, and I think we have the same passion for God.
Mm-hmm.
Different personalities, the three of us, but we just love God and we just have fun together.
Yeah.
We're like a trio.
The three amigos.
Yeah.
So Frank, how have these friendships with these two guys impacted your life and your ministry over the years?
Do you want to be honest with you?
Yes, I want you to be very honest.
It's not always easy, you see.
Yes, it's not. It's not. Good friendships are not always easy. They take work.
They are good friends. You know, the Bible says the one who has too many friends has it for his, I don't know, we say he's wrong. It is not good. But they are friends that are better than brothers.
And
sometimes we don't see one another for 1 or 2 years, but it doesn't change it. Anything in our heart, we love one another so deeply, and like Michel says, it is our love for God first that brought us together at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And we met together in a chapel and we prayed, and after that our friendship came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And now since 20 years we are following one another. Mm-hmm. We are crying for one another, we are praying for one another, and it's a blessing to be here with Patrick because we love him so much.
Yes,
and Michel a little bit less maybe, but he's a good guy.
Well.
and what are you doing in Ireland, guys? Are you just here for a visit, or is there some other thing going on?
Yeah, well, we just came to visit Pat and his family and also his church. Yeah, we're going to minister to his church, yeah.
Excellent, yes. Great. Well, it's so great to have you guys here. I know Pat really well. I've gotten to know him over a couple of years now.
Ooh.
And so I know you guys got to be really great guys if you're friends with Pat. So thanks for coming on the show this morning and sharing your story, stories of hope and transformation. And God bless your ministries and what you're doing. Thanks for coming on.
God bless you.
God bless.
Dublin, yeah.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.